Hello and welcome to Wells Tech, the place where we explore the intersections of technology and ministry. Today on the show, we are joined by Dr. Phil Huebner from Wisconsin Lutheran High School, who talks about his upcoming conference talk entitled The Who Am I Crisis Among Teens Today. And oh yeah, Jason and Rachel are with us too. We're so happy you decided to join us. Enjoy the show. Wells Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and this is episode 673 of Wells Tech, a show about technology and ministry. So happy to be back with you again, and joining me as usual from Mankato, North Mankato, I forget, one of those, somewhere in the Mankato area, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, from Mankato.
I'm in Mankato, Minnesota, and I go to church in North Mankato. How about that? Span the river.
She doesn't spend the time in the suburbs. She's like right there in Mankato. Yeah, there.
Happening place. Right. Happy to join you today, Martin. It's getting to be the end of January. The temperatures have plummeted and we're just kind of getting through winter right now here in Mankato.
Dog days of winter. I can attest to that. Yeah, it's been pretty nippy around here. So we have a couple special guests, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents, as we're fond of calling them. Rachel Fell, professor at Martin Luther College. Hey, Rachel, thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, Martin, happy to be here.
How are you? I got to see
an actual Sally sighting the other day in the in the cafeteria. It was very exciting.
Yeah, it was nice to be on campus for a day for the MLC Auxiliary Board meeting. So, nice treat for me.
It's nice to have the cafeteria open to the general public again, too, after a hiatus. So, and also Ray, Jason, I forgot Jason's first name there for a second. Jason Schmidt from, we don't say up north anymore, but he's north of Milwaukee. How about that?
Yeah, a little bit north of Milwaukee. Yeah, I'm up north right now. So, you know, I'm at my office in Tomahawk. So that considered, we're past, like we're north of 29. So that's like, you know, that's or north of Wausau or whatever. I don't know. We'll work it out eventually. My wife doesn't listen to the podcast anyway. So, you know, we can make fun of her as much as we want. And now she'll pick up on this one. So that's how it goes.
Somebody might tell her though. So
yeah, somebody probably will.
And remind us where you ply your trade, Jason.
Yeah. So I'm the executive director for the Wisconsin Virtual School out of CESA 9 in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. So we're a statewide virtual supplemental program for schools in the state of Wisconsin. Kind of similar to what Amazing Grace Virtual Academy does, but for public schools in Wisconsin.
Right. Neat. So thankful to have both of you joining us once again. And when you do, we try and focus on education/technology topics. And we are looking forward to a conference this summer. And we have tried to feature a few of those speakers. And Sally, you're on that committee, and we probably have some news a little bit later about that conference. But who are we able to wrangle into the interview cycle here for this show?
I don't think there was any wrangling involved. Pastor Huebner can verify that. But we are happy to speak today with Pastor Phil Huebner, who's a campus pastor at Wisconsin Lutheran High School, friend of Wells Tech. And I think he's actually been on the podcast way back in the old days of podcasting.
Yep, before he was Dr. Phil.
Now that's right. He is now Dr. Phil. You'll hear about that in the interview as well. He recently wrote a book. It's called Who Am I? I don't know if that shows on the screen very well, but Who Am I? Understanding Your Identity in Christ Through Facts, Not Feelings. And he's going to be speaking kind of a mini keynote to wrap up the Wells Education Conference coming up this summer. And so we thought it would be great to sit down with Phil and learn more about that particular topic. Who am I? Joining us on Wells Tech today is Dr. Phil Huebner, who serves as campus pastor at Wisconsin Lutheran High School. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We are happy to have you. Before we dive deep into our discussion topic of the day, we wanted to give you a chance to introduce yourself to Wells Techers. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, as you said, Phil Huebner, and well, I do have a degree that is a doctorate. So all the high school students here love to call me Dr. Phil. They really think
that. I was wondering about that. Yes.
Yeah. So my journey is actually having graduated from this high school a couple years ago. And then through MLC and seminary after that, I was a mission pastor at a mission church in Palm Coast, Florida. And the Holy Spirit just works in amazing ways. So somehow I traded in the white rolling waters of the ocean for the white snows of the Midwest. And so after 9 years of mission work there, I came back to Wisconsin Lutheran High School, where, as you said, I now serve as the campus pastor. So what does that mean? I teach a little bit during the day, some sophomores and seniors. I work with our chapel planning, et cetera. But a large majority of my work is with everyday counseling with teenagers in my office, personal, spiritual, pastoral counseling. I really do quite a bit of that work in my everyday ministry. So I guess that brings me to today. I suppose I'll mention just for fun, my wife, Becky, taught in Florida with us. She teaches here at the high school. She was my classmate at the high school. And we have two children, a teenager now. So I guess I can also speak from personal family experience about teens. He's a freshman and we have a sixth grade daughter as well.
Good. Wonderful.
All in the family there. That's awesome. Thanks for joining us again. This summer we're having an education conference and you are a featured speaker there on the topic, the Who Am I crisis among teens today. So maybe explore a little bit more for us how you developed this interest in youth ministry.
That is something that has been kind of a surprise to me, I think. I guess I was always interested in various ministry things, outreach, mission work, etc. Of course, as a pastor at a church in Florida, we had a youth group and a teen group, and I had fun with them and did a mission trip or two or a school trip, etc. That was great. But it's kind of interesting just over time with that mission church, we built a preschool and a grade school up through eighth grade. And worked very closely with lots of young kids, but also their parents as well. And then as God led me to this high school now with teenagers. So just by God's strange plans, I've come to this point where I guess I've dealt pretty much with children from birth to teenage years very closely and their parents and watching their parents grow through that. So I guess the interest in families and family ministry and teens is from just the personal experience and seeing the really great need that families and parents have for help today.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like today is kind of the focus of this. This time in history, this moment that we're living in, seems to be a uniquely challenging one for teenagers. And of course, we're a technology podcast. I'm wondering if you have insight into why it might be so challenging, even if technology has some play in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, specifically to the topic and to teenagers, I guess I wasn't in high school that long ago. I can still remember my high school days. But, you know, even in the two decades and change since then, boy, high school life has just changed so drastically. So drastically. Sin is always present. Satan is always present. It's a lot of similar sins, but the really big twist is the technology. So you have access to sin faster than ever before. You have access to a greater depth of sin faster and more easily than ever before. So you just take a topic like sexual sins, right? There's always been sexual sins, but now you can get into things so quickly through technology. And just your interactions with other people. And then there's the added twist, which kind of speaks to the topic of, you know, personal identity and who am I? And that's the social media factor. And so, you know, teens also get so wrapped up in what do other people think of me? How do I view myself? How do I portray my identity to others? So this makes Christian life very, very complicated today for teenagers.
Well, how do you counsel teens who are having issues with the proper use, the God-pleasing use of technology? I'm sure you've had many opportunities for that kind of conversation.
Yeah. Boy, that's hard. Because kids get it so early as well. You know, a lot of kids are getting their iPhones in third, fourth, fifth grade already. And they are just steeped in social media and technology even before they come here. So trying to break habits of screen time or how they might use social media, we're way behind the game already in high school because they've been doing it for years. So we definitely talk about it a lot, for sure. But I think of like the Bible verse to take captive every thought, to Christ and his word, and teaching teens to make choices with social media and technology about that and how to do that is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So are there particular warning signs that people that work with teens, parents, obviously teachers, pastors, should be aware of in this type of crisis?
Yeah. Maybe I'll speak to those in just a second. So I don't want to like leave everyone hanging on what exactly this, who am I? Like, why did I say who am I? And that's a crisis today. So here's kind of the point is, with all the stuff going on in the world today, and there's lots of problems and lots of sin, and then how technology and social media magnifies it. What I have noticed is that teens become very lost in their feelings. And so, I feel very unloved because I don't get enough clicks. I don't get enough likes or subscribers or, that kind of a thing. I feel very lonely because I'm trying to create this fake social media persona that's so cool and beautiful, and that's hard work, I feel so guilty because I've gotten into sin, So then those feelings, and this is true for every human, right? Your feelings can often become your personal identity. I'm just lost. I am unloved, right? I'm just an anxious person. And so the crisis becomes that they are lost in their personal identity and their worth. And what we need to do as Christians, I believe, is center them in who they are in Christ. So for every feeling they have, there is a fact in Jesus that counters it. I feel so unloved because I don't get enough clicks or blah, blah, blah. Well, the fact is, no matter how many friends you have or what people say online, God so loved the world, he sent his son for you. I feel so guilty because I got into this or this thing on the internet or in social media. Well, the fact is you're innocent in God's sight through Christ Jesus. So for all the feelings you can think about, because we know who we are in Christ, that's what's going to root us and give us strength to know, these things happen, but the fact is this is who I am in Jesus. So I guess I'll just first stop there and see if you have a response to that. And I'll come back to some of the warning signs in a second.
That's a great point. It takes a minute to kind of pause and think about what the internet has done. It's created as you mentioned, an audience of many versus an audience of one. And that's hard to please an audience of many. And it's really comes back to that one-on-one relationship with God, and that really has nothing to do with social media and all the rest of the world that it brings into play.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I've traveled the world with teenagers on mission work and other things like that, and I've been at one of the natural wonders of the world, Victoria Falls, and I take a picture of a girl for her social media, and I had to retake it 7 times because her hair wasn't good enough. She didn't think she'd get enough likes, and I have watched a teen Google what she should post as her caption on a picture for 30 minutes because she didn't think her caption game was strong enough in her words.
Right.
She didn't get enough attention, all these kinds of things where they just really struggle. We have never been more connected globally, and yet we've never been more disconnected. Mm-hmm. And I think teens who grow up immersed in this feel the brunt of that. They just feel so lonely. They don't know how to communicate very well. They love to be in their room and FaceTime with their friends or just text or whatever, Snapchat. So the relationships, as you say, are a really big deal. And so to bring them back to their relationship in Christ, which will root them in all of these things, is so important.
Yeah. So what are those warning signs, those cries for help that, you know, maybe they're on purpose, maybe they're not, that maybe we could be looking for?
Well, there's a lot of research and very scientific research that directly correlates the amount of screen time you have with your personal mental health. And I think I read from, what was her name? I'm trying to think of her name. Well, I'll think of it in a second, but she's a professor at San Diego State University. And she wrote the books, Generation Me and iGen. And she shows that if you cross 10 hours of screen time, like interactive screen time, so not necessarily watching TV, but social media where there's dopamine release in your brain, interactive video games like Minecraft and, you know, first person video games, etc. As soon as you cross 10 hours of screen time in a week, your likelihood for anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideations just soar through the roof. And the crazy thing is, I survey our students, and it's like 40% of our students do more than 30 hours a week, you know, not just 10. So one thing for parents to look out for is just how much time is your kid actually looking at a screen, and what kind of screen time, you know, are they doing? Mindlessly scrolling through TikTok, that kind of stuff, begging for likes from other people and that kind of thing. Number two, I think, is you can just kind of tell in a teen their disposition of, are they willing to interact with each other, or are they trying to self-isolate? So I know something's up with our son, and there's drama going on when all of a sudden he's in his room and trying to close the door and furiously on his phone because this person's crying and he broke up with her and all this kind of thing like that. So, you know, so the warning signs of, are your kids actually looking you in the face? Are they withdrawing to isolation and their phones is a big thing. And I think, you know, as parents and as adults, you can just kind of tell, you know, teens really show their emotions a lot. And you can sometimes just see it in their eyes that something's not right. And I think a really valuable question that I love to ask is just, how are you? And actually mean it, like, you know, not like, oh, I'm good, I'm fine. But like, tell me how you're doing and how does that make you feel?
Gene Twenge, I think, was the author you were after. Yeah,
you got it. Yep.
Google helped me out there a little bit.
I guess just to perhaps offset the negative impact that you're describing, are there positive ways that technology can support and help teens as they journey to adulthood?
Yeah, definitely. So being able to connect with other people, you know, is a one thing. And teens sometimes know they're looking for that and sometimes don't, but when they're given the opportunity, they love it. So for example, churches can empower their teen youth group to do all kinds of cool things through the internet. For example, we have pioneered some Bible studies with our WISCO students with a church in Texas in their youth group. So we did like a once a month Google Meet Bible study with these teens across the country. And it's like, whoa, there's more of us out there. You know, that's really cool. And we've toyed with opportunities, for example, of teaching English to children in Asia through technology, you know, and witnessing, sharing our faith that way. You know, we have taken some efforts to teach teens how to just post on their Instagram and Snapchat stories the little Bible verse memes. You know, you're going to post all kinds of other dumb memes about things. How about you actually share a Bible verse and let your light shine? You know, so those are really cool things. And I'll just mention one more thing that was a powerful thing for our students. What was that? About 2 months ago, we had a morning assembly about technology and screen usage and social media. And one of the counselors who was here as our guest speaker did a little activity with our students. So how'd this go? He texted one student with, you know, permission of the faculty and all that. He texted a student a message. And he said, okay, go text it to as many people as you have in your contacts and let's see how long it takes to get to everybody. You know, so he texted like five people or six or whatever, and everyone got out their phones, and then they texted five or six or 10. And then all of a sudden group chats were, you know, going on and blah, blah, blah. And it was like in 4 minutes, nearly every person out of 900 in the room raised their hand and got the special, got the message, you are special, I think is what it was. You know, and so it was a very vivid reminder that if you use technology in a powerful way to share a Bible verse with a friend who's struggling, or, you know, like one of these picture memes of a Bible verse or a positive message, that can go viral so quickly and be so uplifting to many. And when teens find that what they know how to do, technology, can be used, they love it. And when they know they can make a difference in the world, you know, the young people these days really want to make a difference. They love that too. So yeah, there's lots of opportunities. I think we just have to teach them how to do that.
Interesting. You know, Phil, a lot of the things that you were talking about not only apply to teens, but you know, bigger tween, you know, the bigger kids, you know, I think there's a kid in all of us, and all those similar things about, we want to look good in front of others, and we want to, we want to tweak our profile picture, and we want to make, you know, cast ourselves in the best possible light, and all the other stuff. I mean, we have different problems than teens, of course, but we still have problems, and we still fight sin, and technology is one of those things that is a delivery mechanism for it. And boy, there's a lot of take home value here for, I think, everybody, huh?
I just want to remind people, Phil will be speaking at the education conference this summer on this topic. And also, just a brief mention that you do have a book out on this topic as well. It's available through MPH. I think it's out on Amazon. It's titled Who Am I? So it goes right along with the things we were just discussing.
Is that something you're going to talk about at your session, Phil?
Yeah, I'll talk about it. And I guess in some ways kind of summarize. But I guess what I have shared in parts is kind of what the book is about. So, you know, the first part is just knowing what is my identity in Christ? You know, who am I through baptism and through what Christ has done? Well, there you go. How about that? A table of contents. You know, so understanding those facts, because once you know the facts of what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he did is true, that means that who I am in Jesus is also a fact. And then a great chunk of the book is just taking one of those feelings at a time, where Satan tries to get us, you know, I feel unloved, guilty, worthless, and countering that with a fact of who I actually am in Christ. And Martin, you kind of led into it well. The last part of the book is the very thing you're saying. The brief couple of last chapters say, guess what, teens? This is a lifelong journey.
Right.
Not just for your teen years, but your entire life is a struggle of beating down your sinful nature with God's strength to know who you are in Christ until you see Christ face to face in heaven.
So is this primarily a book for those in high school, that age group?
Yes, it's written for teens, as it says, I guess, on the cover you see there. And it kind of a little bit in teen talk, and I write it as if I'm speaking to a teen throughout it. So it's certain, I've had adults say like, oh, wow, that really applies to me, but it's very specifically directed. I feel like there's not a lot of resources for teens, especially current modern ones and in their language today. So I was trying and hoping and praying that God would somehow use some of these words to touch teens today.
Very good. Well, A+ Wells Tech interview. We were really thrilled that you were able to join us today. Looking forward to seeing you at the education conference this summer, and keep up the great work there at WISCO and keep sharing it.
Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks, Phil. Our thanks to Pastor Huebner for taking some time out of his schedule. Sounds like it's going to be a great session. And I was not aware of the book either. And I think that's probably just what the doctor ordered, so to speak, for a number of situations. So that's cool stuff.
Yeah. And you don't have to get the book to learn even more about it, because this February Forward in Christ magazine issue actually has a 4-page spread. I think Phil was kind of disappointed after we ended the interview that he had forgotten to mention it, but we want to make sure and point people to the February Forward in Christ. Even the picture on the front cover was one that he took actually when they were on one of their mission trips with Wisconsin Lutheran High School. So learn more about the topic and just get excited to hear him speak at EDU 22, which is coming up this summer.
Yeah, certainly a topic that both Rachel and Jason, I'm sure, have had many conversations over and maybe even had to deal with firsthand. Do you guys have any thoughts on the interview?
Yeah, you know, I thought particularly when it comes to the Wells Tech piece of this, you know, when Phil's talking about the level of access that kids have now, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it used to be that we could take a break from our problems, or we could take a break from you know, those temptations or those issues that confront us, and you know, it's easy to physically remove ourselves. But you know, now, especially with kids today, you know, that like we make a little bit of fun of that fear of missing out, you know, like in my circles anyways, because, you know, we're adults. But I mean, that's a real thing. And, you know, the pressures that kids are facing and the sin that's, yep, that they're confronted with on a regular basis, just through that easy access of something that's just right there in their pocket, right? You know, mm-hmm. That is a huge thing. And as the dad to three, you know, two teenagers and one almost teenager, like that's really something that we have to have some really, it makes my kids really uncomfortable when we talk about these things. But, you know, it's a reality of the world that we're in now, where, you know, we need to have these conversations with our kids. And, cause if we don't, somebody else is, and, you know, those influences are not always the best ones, that they're going to be seeing.
Yeah. It was just, probably this past week, did the Wall Street Journal publish another article on green bubble, blue bubble, pressures. So little things like that are a big deal, and can turn into an even bigger deal. So.
Yeah, legit. We had some of that bullying going on the podcast here, like not too long ago. I remember a conversation that we all had.
We are just big kids here, I guess.
You know what? I'm just gonna say, like, I'm now a blue bubble person, and it's all because of my
So look at that.
But no, you're exactly
Rachel,
right.
Mission accomplished.
The,
yeah.
The blue bubble, green bubble thing, like that is mm-hmm. legit. That's a thing, and I had no idea, you know, until we had that conversation and looked into it some more. So
look at that.
Interesting that that's coming up now too.
Right. Yeah. Again. Yeah. This was an older story even. Rachel, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Jason. It's such an important topic that we forget to just put in our everyday conversations. I got an email recently from a teacher wanting to know how to integrate more of like this digital citizenship and those kind of ideas in their classroom. And to me, what it really comes down to is making these tech focused, social media focused topics a part of our everyday conversation. You know, when you're having your devotion with your students or talking through your Bible lessons, I know it was always easy for me to think of those applications to what my childhood was like, mm-hmm. And those things that my students might have been going to that were similar to me. But we really need to think beyond that now. I'm super thankful that, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat were not a thing when I was in high school and college. I think tech-wise, Jason, our generations had about the best of both worlds, where we had a bunch of tech, but it was real easy to just set it aside and go do other things. It wasn't in our face all day long. We need to really internalize that's what it's like for our students these days, so that when we're talking about how God loves us and wants us to be his lights everywhere, that extends to our digital worlds too.
Yeah. And I'm sure you deal with it with kids coming on campus. You know, those are still teenagers coming in there as freshmen and sophomores, and, you know, probably even beyond that, as they struggle with these exact same things, for sure.
Absolutely. One of the things we talk about in teaching with tech is when you get your assignment out of MLC to be a new teacher or staff minister, or out of seminary, what's the first thing your new congregation is going to do? They're going to Google you.
Right.
And so, you know, making sure that your whatever comes up on you in Google is an accurate reflection of who you want to be as a called worker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
interesting perspective. So yeah, really looking forward to Phil's presentation this summer. And I actually went and bought the book. I found it at the MLC bookstore. It's also available on the NPH website and through Amazon even. So just something to give you more perspective. Maybe you don't even have a teen in your home, but because you are interacting with them in church and school settings, helping to understand their perspective more through what he's written, I think is a positive thing.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Again, thanks to Phil for taking that time. Sally, you want to go into Wells now? Because that's probably a nice lead into that. And then we'll come back to news and tech.
That is a great idea, Martin. I'm going to quick share my screen because we have exciting news with the Wells Education Conference. Again, dates are June 20th through 22nd. They're in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, right outside of Milwaukee. And now you can actually get all the conference details through the website. So you can read about the schedule and the different sectionals that are available, explore it by the different topics that we're offering. And then you can actually push the magic button and go ahead and get registered. So registration is officially open on wellsedconference.com. And we welcome early registration. There's a discount for early bird pricing. It's $325 instead of the normal $375. Pre-conference sessions are $50 additional if you want to attend some of the pre-conference offerings. And we do have the option for a one-day pass. And then I'll just make mention that those who are contributing schools to the annual support contribution of Wells Lutheran Schools, you can get a $50 discount code through your school. So if you aren't aware of that, check with your principal or early childhood director for that discount and then apply that. So that takes the $325 down to $275 if you are from a contributing school, and I know many are. And then finally, we've partnered with Ingleside Hotel in Pewaukee. They have a great discounted room rate of $129 per night. So you'll need to make those reservations separately. That does not include their water park pass. So I know when we did this conference a few years ago, guys, it just automatically included the water park pass at the Kalahari. And this gives you the option. So you can add it on for a low fee of $30 per room that covers the entire stay and up to four guests. Or you can opt not to do the water park and have a lower hotel room, you know, bill. So definitely spend the time. Get registered. We expect this conference to be full because it's been a long time since we've had the chance to get together like this. And I know everyone's really eager to come and share in the learning opportunities, but also the fellowship, which is oh so valuable. And so be a part of this National Education Conference and get registered soon.
Yeah. Probably do a COVID debrief, you know, all the things they learned from remote learning, virtual course development. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we learned over the past couple of years that are probably worth talking about. So very good. Let's circle back to our news in tech segment. I found an article, and this kind of came across my inbox a couple times now that we're into tax season. And that's the fact that the IRS or the government in general will soon be requiring a little bit more authentication credentials be provided to get at your stuff that the IRS holds. And they're using one third party in particular, ID.me, to begin to kind of be the gatekeeper before you can do a number of things. There are obviously many things that you can do online. You can see your past payments, look at your online account. The child tax credit update portal is there, online payment agreements, getting PINs, you know, getting your transcripts, you know, those kinds of things are all online. And those will require this ID.me account to be created, which doesn't sound too bad on the surface, but, you know, it is, you know, some would consider it pretty intrusive. You need to provide, obviously, your Social Security number. You need to provide a selfie. You need to provide, I think in some cases, access to your credit file, your credit report. picture of your driver's license. A lot of stuff that the government is asking through this ID.me process. And it's not going to be optional. There are things that you're really going to need to do online. And this is now going to be in place, I believe, at some point this summer. You can still log in with your general IRS login right now. I just did that earlier this week, but there will come a time very soon where that won't be enough. So just be prepared for that. So that was making the rounds. And this has kind of been in the works for, you know, since last year even, but now it's obviously taking, you know, front and center stage as tax season is upon us. So.
Sounds like fun. I defer all tax things to my husband. So he's the one that can submit a selfie and maybe I won't have to.
Yeah, I have not gone through the process yet. I understand, Jason, you went through this.
Yeah, I had some stuff that I had to get access to and couldn't do it through the regular channels. So I ended up needing to set up the profile and everything like that. I was a little hesitant to let the government have my picture, but then I realized I have a driver's license. They've got my picture anyways. So no. Right. But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was kind of an involved process, but not particularly painful. It's just a lot of steps. But you know, it is what it is. That's the way things are going. And yeah, you know, just yeah, we'll see.
And I guess one of the challenges is if you need something in a time sensitive fashion, leave enough time, because there are some issues or can be some issues with the facial recognition verification and matching, where you're actually gonna have to talk to a real person, and that could take some time, especially if you're mid tax season and need something critical. So want to get out ahead of that.
It did take me a couple of days. I had to, because I'd submit a picture and they're like, "Ah, that's not quite good enough." And then I'd have to do another one. So I ended up having to submit like two or three pictures.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah. All right. That is our news and tech for the show. Let's move on to our picks of the week. And we like our guests to come loaded with picks. And I think they have. Rachel, what do you got today?
Well, I'm half tempted to talk about Windows Power Toys, but I'm not going to, because I have a non-techie pick this week, which I have decided is the best water bottle in the history of the world. My mother could tell you that I have a huge cabinet in my kitchen just with water bottles, because I always know I should drink more water and have just never come across a water bottle that I actually like. And then my friend Jen Melberg, she's a early childhood professor here at MLC. We were in the coffee shop one day and she's like, "Rachel, you have to see this water bottle." And I was like, "Well, it's a water bottle. Like, how cool could it be?" It's cool. It's way cool. So the company is Awala. And they have a couple different options, but I like their free sip option, which is the one that Sally's showing on their website right now. It's super easy to clean, which is with water bottles can be a big deal. Insulation is good. It doesn't leak. I've put it with water in it in my bag with my computer and my iPad. No problems whatsoever. But my favorite part is that it's like a hybrid of a straw and also like you can sip from it. So I hate the annoying sound that water bottles with straws make, you know, the ones you have to bite on and then it makes the glug glug sound and everyone's like, "Oh, she's drinking water." I don't like being that self-conscious about it. So this one doesn't make that sound. And if you really need a lot of water fast, you can still chug it. And you don't have to worry about cleaning out that weird bitey piece that a lot of them have that gross stuff gets caught inside. So it's really fantastic. It comes in a couple of different sizes. The current one I have right now is actually, they had a Star Wars line. So yeah, it's got Baby Yoda, which is really great. They had a Harry Potter line. They're just, if you're going to get a water bottle, like I've bought this for a bunch of my friends because that's how much I like it. So if I can help any other teachers out there drink more water, this is the water bottle you want to get. It's really awesome.
Do you have the stainless steel or the Triton?
I have the stainless steel, so that it's a little more insulated.
That was my question. So just water, or can you put hot stuff in there too?
You could, yes. I would be hesitant. You'd have to be careful because you can drink pretty fast. So if there's hot stuff in it, it's going to, potentially burn you. And okay. I have found out the hard way that carbonated things in here is a bad idea. So don't do that.
Go there. Okay.
But yes, it's really fantastic and everyone should have one.
And reasonably priced too, as water bottles, mm-hmm. high-tech water bottles go. So I don't see anything over the $29.99. That's pretty cool. And they've got some fun colors for sure.
They do.
Including Shy Marshmallow. Their colors have fun names.
Uh-huh.
Shy Retro Boardwalk. So
very nice. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it today, Rachel.
No problem.
Jason, I think Rachel gave a tease already. What do you got today?
Well, I'm glad that Rachel picked her best water bottle in the history of the world, because I was going to come in with Yeti and it's just not going to work. So, I'll defer to Rachel on that one. It is a green bubble, blue bubble thing because I'm in a Windows ecosystem and, even on a, Mac laptop, you still get the blue bubble. So I'm out of it. So, my pick this week is, for Windows users, it's called Microsoft Power Toys. And these are, it's a suite of utilities that you can install that will kind of tweak the way that Windows works for you. So it works on, I think it works on Windows 10 and on Windows 11. I'm not sure about that. I'm on 10 and it works great for me. But a few things that I really like about it is, in particular, what drew me to this tool was the fancy zones. So what this does is it allows you to have presets based on your monitor and your display that can snap, so you can snap windows to certain sizes, not just the split, like the 50-50 split like you get in normal situations. So, there's some keyboard shortcuts in Windows, like you can use Windows key and the left key to make it pick up the left half of the screen, Windows key and the right key to make it fill up the right-hand side of the screen. But there are a lot of things that I use, like if I'm using a chat client or Zoom or something like that, I don't want it to take up the full screen. And I was tired of like having to resize everything all the time. So I move it where I want, click and hold the shift key, and then it goes into the spot that I want it. So works really well for me in my instance, especially since I'm work in multiple locations. So I have a different monitor set up at home than I do at my office and then I do when I'm mobile. So really, having that ability to do things really quickly that way works really well. The other thing that I use a lot is the image resizer. So that allows me to rather than trying to and this is something that's built into Mac that's really easy with Automator, but you didn't have a Windows option until this was in. So you take your pictures, then you can just right click on it, resize it, and it just automatically does it, saves the original. So I use that a lot as well when I'm scaling graphics, like pictures. I'll get a picture and it's got to go onto a website, so make it a lot smaller or whatever. So I use that tool a lot as well. There's a bunch of other stuff too. Like I accidentally use the cursor finder a lot. So if you press the control key twice, it'll highlight your mouse cursor. So just a fun little, a free tool. You can play around with it, and if it works out for some of those productivity and workflow kinds of things, then it's a fun little tool.
Yeah, I'm glad you highlighted image resizer. I have used that before and I'd forgotten about it, but I was in a position where I had this whole folder full of images. I think it was probably for the last EdTech Lead conference, all the presenters' images, and I wanted them all cropped to square and certain dimensions and everything, and that whole batch functionality of it, not just doing it on one quickly, but doing it on 50 if you need to, is super powerful. So I really like that one. Second.
Yeah. One that you didn't mention was Power Renamer, which is actually a nice function too, especially if you're trying to rename a bunch of images that are coming out of your camera with these crazy names. You can give them location or event or date or however you want. It's actually a very cool tool. So very nice. Nice pick. And all for the price of zero. Excellent.
That's the budget.
Yep. All right, Sally, take a swing.
My turn is just pointing to an article that might be an interesting read for the teachers among us who are using technology in their classrooms. And it's from the journal, Transforming Education Through Technology. And it's 13 predictions for K-12 and technology in 2022. So I just did a quick skim of the article and saw some really interesting things that they're pointing to as kind of future vision for technology and education, investments in skill building and support, students rising to the occasion. It's been a wild ride, it says, and students have shown they know how to navigate technology to help learn. So I'm thinking we'll continue to move down this route, that they're going to continue to innovate and make use of technology well. Programs for wellness will come to the forefront. Instructional support and training will ramp up. So always more to learn and ways to support. And we're trying to move back to that in-person learning, but also having the digital components, and especially just maintaining them in our tool belt so we can switch quickly as needed to online learning and things like that. Student creativity will once again reach a wider audience. So a resurgence in student-created media and providing them opportunities to publish their stories and ideas. Students need more education on climate change, it says. And then continuing to scroll through, classroom sound enhancement deserves attention, and what worked, and create new practices, kind of evaluations and moving forward from here, doing more. And there's more here in the article. If we want to explore that, then definitely check out the link in the Wells Tech show notes. I just thought it a good read for anyone that's interested in technology. And I think probably we all are at this point, technology in the classroom.
Very good. Looks very interesting. My pick is actually a feature that's been in Chrome and now in Edge browsers for a little bit, but I kind of just discovered it, and it is the copy link to highlight function. And this solves a big problem that I have when I'm teaching online classes, where I want to get information to a student, but it's a big old long article and I want to draw their attention to just a segment or a paragraph of it. And a while back, Google enabled in their browsers a text fragment links function, and now they've kind of baked it in. And it used to be an extension that surfaces, but essentially the way it works is you highlight a piece of text on a web page, you right click, and then there is a link there, or one of the options in the contextual menu called copy link to highlight. And what that does is it copies to your clipboard a URL, and then you can paste that or send that. And then when somebody clicks on it, they're immediately taken to that page and directly to the section that you highlighted. And it will highlight it for them in, I think, usually in like a purple or lavender color. I've seen it actually a couple different colors, so I'm not sure what the rhyme or reason is to that. But that is awesome. So rather than just saying, hey, go here and here are the relevant pieces of the article under this sub, you know, heading or whatever, or halfway down the page, you can really highlight this. And this is a super useful and totally free tool. I think there's an extension on Firefox as well for this. I was looking around for this and came across a Chrome extension and an Edge extension that did this. But then I figured out that, hey, this is already on the contextual menu there. And I didn't even realize it was there. So sweet extension they've added here, or a way to do this, makes a lot of sense, and it makes the web a lot more useful and has made my life a lot easier. So that is the copy link to highlight option now in Chrome and Edge. It's built in. I don't know if it's built into Firefox, but there's an extension that'll do this as well. So didn't check Safari. I doubt that it's in Safari, but so this is a really cool, a cool way to share content.
Yeah, and actually ties back to predictions and making things just easier for student and teachers to be digital and to be online with different education needs. I think that's super powerful, Martin. Thanks for sharing.
Yep. Be using that a lot in the near future. So I think we are ready for our ministry resources segment.
And I thought we're talking teens, so we may as well keep the ball rolling in relation to our interview and focus on teenagers, and announce that there is an upcoming Wells International Youth Rally. So those teenagers are eager to meet face-to-face after a hiatus as well. So this June 28th through July 1st, they will be at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville for a Wells International Youth Rally. And there is a registration booklet available online already, so you can start gathering information and preparing to register. Registration will open March 8th and run through May 31st. And the pricing there, early bird is $375. And then after May 1st, it's $395. It must be registered by May 31st. Looks like they have some great speakers lined up, and always an amazing fun time. In general, teens probably only have a couple of opportunities to get to a youth rally during those teenage years. And so make sure and take advantage of it and make preparations. I know up here in Minnesota, an email went out that they're going to stop halfway at the Creation Museum in Kentucky, and they're actually going to spend the night on the Ark. This group from Minnesota has booked the Creation Museum to spend one night sleeping in the Ark. So I think that'll be super cool to add to the International Youth Rally experience. But make those plans now, folks. Line up your chaperones and your transportation and everything, because registration opens very soon.
Yeah, I love their graphics and their title. Here and now is the theme, Royal People, Momentous Purpose. That's pretty cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would definitely sign up early, because this thing does fill up.
Just one more teen-oriented mention, and that is there is a series of teen devotions that are regularly posted and available. You can subscribe to them by email. And they're, it looks like they come out once a week. The devotion series is called Transformed, Devotions Connecting Teens to Christ. And so if you aren't making use of that, or your teenagers aren't, maybe suggest that as a devotion option for them.
Very nice. I think that is going to about do it. We want to encourage our listeners, viewers, to contribute to the show if they so chose. And we are on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, etc. So check us out there. Show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. You can see all the way back to the beginning of Wells Tech time. Show number one is listed there. I think you can listen to all of them and read the show notes that Sally faithfully prepares. You can comment on any one of those. We'll get a notification and maybe share that information. You can also leave a voicemail there if you like. We love those. And email is always good too, wellstech@wells.net. So if you have a question or comment for us or our guests, that would be awesome. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Rachel, for another brilliant show. I appreciate what you bring to the table, and I'm sure our audience does as well. Taking the time out is awesome. Thanks.
Always love the opportunity. Thanks.
You are most welcome. Thanks, Rachel.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to be back in a couple weeks, and we're going to be talking about calendaring and scheduling in the church and school office. More challenging than ever before, but we've got some good tools to share with you as well. So tune in for that next time. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.